Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren. Alongside me is not Kevin Tinkin. Andrew File is here.
Hello, hello.
Jane Fawcett is here.
Still here.
And Steady Eddie, Sarah Wells, still
That's
here.
That's me, Steady Eddie.
Been around since day one.
That's right, I have.
I'd like to sum up all the total episodes and see how many, like, who's been on, have you been on the show more than Sarah? Because you came in pretty early on. And Sarah's missed a few with trips and stuff, right?
Yeah, and she was sick a couple weeks ago.
I think you came on, she came on, I thought, well, because Megan Jade was on for a while.
I bet I was on pretty halfway. Okay. I'm sure Sarah's done more shows than me.
Now, if you're just tuning into the Spoutcast, Andrew File is our resident producer of the show. What does that job entail?
Basically, I just criticize you guys. Yeah. That's kind of what I do.
Constructive feedback.
Yeah. Actually,
I do want to note, too, that in our off-air conversation about how we're going to approach the sermon discussion, Christian talked to Andrew, not to either of us. So obviously, your relationship trumps either one of us.
Wow.
So.
We'll see.
That's a little bit of a tough subject
right now
for me.
When you're the producer, you got to have one person to go to. So he's my go-to man. You know, he's got to check in with me, see how things are going.
Why didn't he check in with us?
Yeah,
well, I'm checking in with you guys on air. On air.
Oh, thanks.
Check in with me.
Thanks for pre-checking, Christian.
Andrew, basically, he's not very tactical in terms of like, oh, you know, you guys are doing a lot of good things right. Here's one thing to work on. Andrew doesn't tell us that we're doing anything right. He only says, oh, I don't know, I'd switch that up or I'd do that differently. I'm like, well, thanks, Andrew, for shooting my personality down.
But I listen every week. Yes, I commit I've committed a lot of my life to you guys.
I don't know if I agree with that you listen every week. Okay. Because you were pretty surprised about the fact that I'm sitting backwards in my chair right now. And
we do talk about that
for probably the last three episodes.
I listened last week.
No, you must not have, because we talked about how we were going to approach the 100th episode.
You had PJ on.
No, that was a few weeks ago. We talked about you in the chair.
Yeah. So okay. It's been a busy time.
Oh, whatever. Yeah. Excuses.
I was in Minneapolis. Whatever.
So. Where are your priorities?
So Andrew's here. He's going to stick with us throughout the episode. We're going to talk with Andrew. First of all, through the sermon discussion of Jared's message on 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5, the official title is Tongues, Part 1. And then
Tongues, Part 1. Creative.
Very creative. Yeah. And then we'll talk with Andrew about kind of your plans for the January season. You're going to go on a mission trip to Guinea-Bissau, correct?
Exposure trip.
Yeah, no, I knew that. Janie corrects me all the time in the write-ups for the show. Yeah. Anytime I write missions trips, it's always exposure trips. Yes. So,
Good job, Janie.
Yeah, thank you, Janie. And then we'll close out the show with some general announcements. Now, the
we never have announcements, though.
We do. We talked about Eat Me. We talked
about... So we're allowed to do announcements now? Because there's a while where we weren't allowed to do verbal announcements.
Well, we're just saying check the website. All right, you know what? Just... And then we'll have another part at the end where we do whatever we want to do.
You guys just talk for a while.
I do have a spout out.
Okay. Now, Sarah, you picked the music this week, or Jane picked the music?
Jane did.
Okay.
I actually can take credit for picking the music this week.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sarah and I had a little music conversation last week.
Yes,
and
we did.
I said, Sarah, I would really love if we could have the Lumineers on one week. Mm. So she gave me permission to do music this week. Thank you, Sarah.
You are welcome.
And I don't know much about the Lumineers, because remember, I still listen to Yellow Card and Newfound Glory.
Music. Did you guys like Imagine Dragons last week?
I did. In fact,
Snap
I've been
Dragons?
The Snapdragons. Yeah,
that was funny. That was funny. I kept laughing.
I have been listening to them all week on my Spotify.
Great. Me too.
Sadly, I think this is my first episode that I haven't completed before the next episode is recorded. So I haven't even finished the episode.
Well, I guess Andrew's finished it before you.
Hey, life's a little busy right now, okay? Jeez.
She was in Minneapolis.
All right, so how'd you hear about this band? Are they popular? I don't know.
I heard one song. It might have been on Parenthood, the Hey Ho Hey song.
Yeah.
Hey Ho, I don't even remember which. Oh Hey, that's right. Whatever. I love the band. Anyways, So I downloaded that song, and then they've just kind of been
they're good
popping up a little bit. Yeah. So
I think we've had this conversation before, but you mentioned Parenthood. And I know it's a great show.
It's a wonderful show.
But
it's not
this
a show.
Is kind
it's
of
reality TV.
This is kind of a you know, behind the scenes Christian Warren. My very first crush of all time was Vivica A. Fox, okay, in Independence Day. Then my second crush of all time was a woman in the movie Head Over Heels with Freddie Prinze Jr. named Monica Potter. And then Monica Potter was in the very first Saw movie and kind of like freaked me out. She was like kind of this crazy person. Not crazy. She was like a normal person, but I just didn't like her in that movie. And then I saw a preview for Parenthood, and I'm like,
she's
wonderful. Monica Potter. So she's my number two celebrity crush.
Have you watched Parenthood?
I have, but I kind of forgot that was her after the Saw movies. I kind of, you know, forgot about her.
Yeah. Wait, so, I don't know which one is Monica Potter?
Christina.
Yes, the blonde.
I want my wife back. That show has taken my wife.
Like, well, literally
she watches
any,
it?
She should come
oh my
over
God.
To our
well,
house
she, right
on
now she's
Tuesday
on Netflix.
Nights.
So literally any free moment, she's got her headphones in and she cooking anything.
Does she have tissues?
Oh, she just loves it. She's laughing,
we're
crying.
Oh, man. Ugh. When she catches up, she should come over to our house on Tuesday nights. Yeah. We watch it live because we don't have any of that dish stuff. It's cable. We got bunny ears on top of the TV.
Someone has to stand by the bunny
the
ears.
The last 10 minutes of it, it goes totally staticky and we have to stand holding them. We're dedicated.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Well,
that was our random side note for the day, all of us.
Oh, we can talk about Parenthood whenever you want.
Okay. Well, stay tuned for some Lumineers and also we'll be back with some sermon discussion.
Trying to do it right. Hey! I've been living a lonely life. Ho! I've been sleeping here instead. Hey! I've been sleeping in my bed. Ho! I've been sleeping in my bed. Hey! Ho! Ho! So show me family. Hey! All the blood that I will bleed. Ho! I don't know where I belong.
All right, this week we are not going to play a clip from Jared's sermon. If we were to take a clip out of it, it wouldn't make sense in the context of the sermon as a whole. And so Sarah's just going to read the scripture for us.
Okay, reading 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 5. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up.
Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome.
And now we can all be seated.
Yes, yeah. Please be seated.
Anytime I'll ask like a junior hire to read like just one line in a Bible. And it's like every time I regret it going, I should have just read it myself. It's just so like, it's not that they can't read. It's that there's a disconnect between reading to yourself versus reading out loud. Mm-hmm. And they just, it doesn't flow. And so it actually, you miss the whole scripture, but you did great, Sarah.
Thanks.
Mm. Yeah. Thanks. So that was this text in which, Jared spoke on this past Sunday. And, I guess the theme as a whole, focused on, obviously we're in spiritual gifts and, tongues. And basically what Paul is trying to say is that yes, there is, tongues, but that should be kind of put to the side in the church context and prophesying should be used in the context of church. However, your own personal prayer language, don't bring that into the church. That's for your own personal thing. Prophesying should be used to build up the church, not your own personal tongues mm-hmm. language. Is that a general summary of the text at least?
Yeah, that, of the text. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Not necessarily of the sermon, of the text.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I feel like what you just said kind of went against what the sermon said.
Yeah, I'd say Jerry's, the interpretation of the text is very
I'm saying that's you can.
Well, that's an interpretation.
That was Christian's interpretation.
Okay, so now,
if you want to hear a summary of the text, go sit down and read it, and then come back.
Yes. So now, kind of what Andrew and I were talking off air is that this is the type of sermon where a lot of people could disagree with. A lot of people could take a different stance on it. And Jared mentioned a few times, different people have different experiences in it, and mm-hmm. and we've all probably had our experiences with the gifts, and then Jared's had his experience with the gifts, and he talked about his experience in the beginning. And I think that, how do I say this? The text should shape what the text says versus our experiences. Mm-hmm. How did he say it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the line I think he got it from Brad, that Brad's used over and over, is that our experiences, we don't want those to be the drivers of what we mm-hmm. understand, that the Bible should be the drivers of how we understand them.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think as Christian, it was like, hey, you want to come on? I'm like, are you sure you want me to talk about how I see this text? Because I even talked to Jared today, and I was like, I told him, and I've told Brad the same, that I disagree with how where the well comes down on this issue. But mm-hmm. I think a lot of it hinges on, and Jared even mentioned it, how you interpret 1 Corinthians 13.
Right.
That really drives how you interpret 1 Corinthians mm-hmm. 14. Because PJ's message last week talked a lot about the gifts and this idea of when the perfect comes. What's the perfect? And so if you interpret that as it's this idea of when the apostles passed away and then the canonization of scripture, then you look at 1 Corinthians 14 and you see it different. And if you don't see those as the gifts as ceasing, then obviously you interpret 1 Corinthians 14 is different.
Mm-hmm. So did you agree with PJ's sermon last week about 1 Corinthians 13?
Well, I don't think PJ landed on
something. I didn't think he landed on anything.
It's true, because at the end he says, you probably feel like I just wasted your time because I didn't even give you my opinion.
Yeah. Which just in gave some options. Sense I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Because these issues are so hard. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like Jared said, there are giants of the faith that like land on opposite sides of this issue. So I think what I did appreciate is like, this is hard. This is confusing. This is like, I don't know. You can dice it a lot of ways. So I think I appreciated that.
Totally.
But
And I was just telling Andrew, I think that PJ's message, I think I've sat well with me in the sense of like, okay, it's not saying here is what it is. Here's what it is saying. It's going, here are four different, I think PJ mentioned four. Here are four different approaches. I have my own personal side to one of mm-hmm. these. However, I could see how you could get to each one of these reasonings based on these different texts. And so Jared's sermon, although he's a different teacher than PJ, he mentioned in his sermon, this is where I land on this. This is what I, Jared, the teaching pastor, say. So here's how this is going to go. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So it's mm-hmm. different styles of teaching. And I think that from my perspective, we have to recognize we all could be wrong. We don't know the right answers. I think we can use other texts to interpret text, but this is, like we say at Discovery, I still believe a very open-handed issue. Mm-hmm. It's not a closed-handed thing, and I cannot definitively say one way or the other. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Remind us where Jared's stance was.
Jared's stance would be that all these sign gifts, so we're talking prophecies, tongues, dreams, healing, all of those have ceased based on the canonization of scripture. So therefore, there is no more private prayer language. There is no more tongues. And that verses 1-5 really is insignificant in the sense of it doesn't mean anything to our culture today.
So basically, the only thing that matters is pursue love.
But that text doesn't talk about love at all. So there's nothing.
But it starts out and says pursue love.
Yeah, but that's not where his sermon went, per se.
Right, but everything's faded away in his perspective, in Jared's stance.
Yes.
It's all about unity and love.
Right. Yes, it's all about unity and love.
Yeah, Paul's point was unity and love. And right. So that these things really, and even the body image, that we need to be serving and building up each other, I think. Mm-hmm. Would be.
Sorry, right. I didn't know what you were saying.
Andrew's here.
what the people outside of the church see is, we don't want them to see us dividing over tongues and prophecy or what's okay and what's not okay. They want we want them to see us love and unity. So I think that was, you know, that's what we should be driving for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's why it's hard to land on, well, what did we glean from this sermon? Because the sermon wasn't a walk away and think about this. It was more of, here is the interpretation of this text. And as he goes through it and Jared talks about his opinion and the study that he's done, it really goes, well, this text, everything in this text is ceased. So we need to just focus on Christ, basically. And he used the words, the miraculous over
mystical over your experience. You don't need mystical to be biblical. You don't need to be mystical to be biblical.
Right. And so I think that was maybe a sum of what he was trying to get at, in the sense of, like, we need to just focus on the text and what the text says. But I think with these 12, 13, 14, we aren't necessarily 100% positive that this is what the text says. And so that's why, for me at least, it is an open-handed issue. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's okay to be open-handed about this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's okay to not land on a certain issue. And I think that's what I appreciate. Not to say that Jared is wrong by any means, but I think that's the difference between PJ's and Jared's sermon, is that PJ was very open-handed about things, almost to where you said he could be wasting people's time. But at least I think nobody walks away feeling like, well, I have a different opinion. I could be wrong, but maybe I need to study the text more, versus like, well, that's what Jared said. I need to, do I believe in that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make sense? It's a different way of thinking.
Yeah, and I think if you get to know the guys, that's their personality, right? So like PJ is always fighting, he's always wrestling, he's always kind of, he just likes to have the conversation, the banter.
Maybe a devil's advocate
sometimes. Yeah, totally. He'll flop all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And then you talk to Jared, he's black and white. Absolutely. He knows where he stands. 100%. And I've even had conversations where he disagrees one week and the next week he agrees after he thought about it and he processed and now he agrees.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a personality thing. And I know for me, as I heard the text and as I've heard the sermon, I've interacted and studied. I talked to Jared this morning, like I said, and you know, I was just like, I see it totally different. From being a missions director, you travel the world, and in the Western culture, we divide spiritual, physical, emotional. Mm-hmm. They're very different sectors of our life, and that's not how the third, a different world thinks, how the non-Western world thinks, and the spiritual is just part of everyday life. Mm-hmm. And so, I think talking to missionaries that really see the spiritual gifts, elements moving different ways, they just say the Western world can't process it, and God is bigger than that. He can work through the culture and through our cultural barriers, and that's why we don't see those things as operative and happening all the time. But you step out, you know, having traveled the world, you step out in a different context, I see God moving in different ways. And scripturally, I look at it and I see it different. You know, I see the perfect is Jesus coming back. And so for me, the gifts still, still, you know, exist. They're still operative. I just don't think in our context, our Western context, that God needs to or has to move that way. So, you know, and I've expressed that to Brad and Jared, and I think that's where I appreciate this being an open-handed issue. And I told Jared, hey, just continue to communicate it as an open-handed issue, because we have people that disagree. I have life group leaders I've had some conversations with, folks in the congregation that are just like, is it okay I'm here and I disagree? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, like totally. We want to do this in love and unity. Mm-hmm. And totally,
and that can be sharpening to have people with different opinions, because I mean, I learn so much from having conversations with people who I don't agree with, because it sharpens you or it challenges you. I don't think it's good. But I was going to ask, or not ask, but when it talks about tongues, you know, as a known language, and like Paul used it in different countries to speak the gospel to, you know, languages he didn't know, in America, where like most people speak English, or, you know, it's like I don't know if there's necessarily a need for it here like there is in other countries. So maybe that's another reason why it's more seen elsewhere.
Well, the known language thing is, correct me if I'm wrong, the known language thing is in the context of the body.
Yeah.
And the personal prayer language is your own language.
I mean, which it could be language. No, you just don't know.
Just don't know.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so, like, you may not see it in the context of the body, because it's there is fully a mouse right outside the studio.
Healthy. That is gross.
Oh, that's so gross.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll give him a picture.
We have another guest today.
Sick.
Yeah,
Fifel.
Mighty Mouse.
Fifel. So basically in the English or the, you know, Western culture or whatever, we are probably not going to see tongues as much or not be able to realize it as much because, yeah, you're right. The languages is all pretty much the same, but that's in the context of the body. But you may hear another language if you, in your own, or you may speak a different language in your own personal prayer.
Okay,
language.
Maybe I misunderstood because I thought something that I thought I got from the sermon was that the personal prayer language is not the way that we're supposed to use tongues. Like that's the tongues is supposed to be in the context of the body with an interpreter. It's if you're using it as a personal prayer language, like that's possible, but that's not how it was intended.
I'm
on the same page as you.
That's what I gathered.
Because I've gathered that all spiritual gifts are for the edification of the body as a whole, not individually. And when you're using them individually, that's when you're being selfish.
Yeah, because I feel like that has been said from the pulpit. I mean, for this whole spiritual gifts section is it's for the edification of other people. So if you're using it on your own, then that's not that it's like sin, but like that's
it's
not
being
how,
used incorrectly.
Right.
In a sense.
So
now maybe I will just say what I saw maybe.
Okay.
And then Andrew, you can agree, disagree. And I could be very wrong in this.
I'm not emotionally connected to anything. That's just what I gathered from it.
I could be very wrong in this. I think Paul is essentially saying, like, I have my own personal prayer language between me and God.
Uh-huh.
And I know that some of you guys do too in Corinth, except you're using that in the church, in the body. I would rather you not use that in the body, save that for yourself, and use prophecy in the body because that is more uplifting to the body as a whole. Mm-hmm. This gift is not, you're not using it properly in the body. You're using it for yourself in the context of the body. Makes sense?
Yeah.
But what about the point where Jared says that where Paul says, I would rather you use prophecy. He compares it to where Paul says, I would rather you remain celibate. So that he's using it as a sarcastic remark.
In which sense of him saying the gifts?
So when Paul said
tongues to yourself,
I would rather you remain celibate instead of be married.
Right.
In this case, he was saying, I would rather you use prophecy instead of tongues.
Yes, I think that's exactly what he's saying.
So he's being sarcastic, Jared said.
I think these are all interpretation issues, right? So it's like that was Jared's stance, and that's what he communicated, that it's not a prayer language, all these things based on his stance. So if you have a different stance, like what Christian was saying, you would just see it different. So even I read that and I see it says the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. Yeah. I would take that to say if somebody can interpret the tongues, that tongues is greater than prophecy. You know, because that's what I would
unless
see from that.
Unless you have an interpreter thing.
Yeah. So if you have an interpreter, then use tongues in the church.
Yeah.
That's what I would hear. So I think it's just how you see the issue. You'll interpret it different ways.
What would be the purpose of using tongues in a church that it's your church body and you all speak the same language? What would be the purpose of having tongues then? I thought the purpose of tongues was for mission purposes, to go to other countries, not for the church.
Well,
like tongues are for non-believers, prophecies for believers.
Could it be though in the time that Paul is writing that that's not necessarily how it was? Like
maybe.
That might be here because we are such a westernized culture. We all speak majority the same language. Maybe that's not how it was. Yeah. In Corinth.
Remember in Acts, he read that. Acts 2, I think, about all these different people and all these different languages or all these different countries these people are from. We don't know if everybody in the church of Corinth is all speaking the exact same
that's
language.
What Trina's saying. Okay.
But who knows? And once again, I think it's like it is all...
One big question mark.
Well, and you guys are... asking questions based on the interpretation that Jared gave of the text. You know what I mean? If you had a different interpretation, you might be asking different questions. Mm-hmm. And so that is where it's like, because we don't know, I'm probably could be wrong and Andrew could be wrong. And we all could be wrong. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I am probably more, even though I'm a persister with this issue, I just feel like the gray is so much safer. You know what I mean? It's just, I'm not God. And I guess I'll know when I'm in heaven.
And I think you don't want to, use something to divide that isn't worth dividing over. And open-handed, close-handed.
Yeah, and I think even I'm a persister, but I think my value has become to see both sides. Right. So having been, like, I grew up thinking if you spoke tongues or healing, or so I had a buddy freshman year of college that said his dad was healed, and I'm like, dude's crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
this guy's
wasn't.
Crazy. And then I go over to Thailand and kids are being healed. People are speaking in tongues and the gospel is going forth through healing, through dreams, through these things that I'm like, I don't have a God that works in this. Like to me, God can't do these things and this is unbiblical, and I'm seeing the church come alive. And so I think those experiences and how you interpret a text, now, so I've seen both sides, and I also see the side that Jared really is warning against, that that there are a lot of churches in America and wherever that really put emphasis on the gifts, that they neglect scripture, and they're doing it in such an unhealthy way. And so even that guy I mentioned in my freshman year, I had a conversation with him. He's still at an Assemblies of God church, and he's like, there's a lot of people that practice this so bad in my church and don't love. And he's like, Paul's telling them to love, and he's like, I'm trying to tell them, don't be jerks about your gift. You have a gift, but you know, you got to use it in the right way. So I think there's that, like, see, you can see it from every perspective.
And I think that's good in a position, I feel like, that we all hold, of interacting with people outside of, that are members of the church, but not on staff or whatever, anyone that we're able to see both sides, because since there isn't a strong line drawn in the sand of this is the truth, this is not, that we have to give grace to that, because it is based on an opinion. We do experience things totally differently. I had a friend who told me a story that she went to Costa Rica and she healed someone and she'd never done it before. And my initial thought was, who the heck are you? Because I have no idea who you are. You've totally changed. You've become charismatic. Like, what's the deal? What happened to you? But the more that I thought about it, it's, our culture is so, we've put God, we've put the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, in a box to look at medicine to heal, or to look at the power of prayer to heal, when, I mean, I don't know. It just pushed it. I've been pushed with, we have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Do we tap into that? And in what ways are we supposed to? So, yeah, it does make you open your eyes to think there's so much more outside of our little bubbles of faith that's bigger than our minds.
That mindset that you have, Jane, I think is, that is an open-handed mindset, and just being willing to accept, well, we have put Holy Spirit in a box and maybe there's more to it. And I think that the danger that sometimes people take on the other end is like, no, the Holy Spirit is in a box, and it's, these gifts died when the canonization of scripture was finished. And so that is that.
Yeah.
And so I think personally that mindset that you have, Jane, of being like, okay, I'm a little uncomfortable with my friend telling me this, but I shouldn't be so closed off. I want to hear more about it, because I don't know, the Holy Spirit can do crazy things.
Totally.
And I don't want to be closed off to it. And I think that, however, we always need to make sure that we're understanding scripture, and we're not taking scripture for granted, and we're not just pulling it out of a hat and going, well, this is what I think it says, and this is what I think it says. Instead of going, I could be wrong, I might be right, this is what the text says, I'll never know until I get to heaven.
And it shows so much of the importance of living in the power of the Holy Spirit instead of living in your own power. Because I feel like when we, it's something that I feel like the Lord's been teaching me of living in his power, is then we're not acting out of our own will, we're acting out of his. Mm-hmm. And if we're doing that, then hey, maybe I might be practicing a certain spiritual gift, but the reason why I would be practicing it is to further the gospel, is to show someone the love of Christ, not to go, hey, did you see me just do that? It's it's a totally different motive that I think people in Corinth were doing it for the glory. We're doing it for the attention, not necessarily to spread love, to spread the Holy Spirit, to spread the gospel, which I think that's the issue.
What's the motive?
Yeah.
Totally.
And, yeah. And I think at the end of the day, and I, you know, have mentioned this, it's like I appreciate the freedom to disagree at the well, yet mm-hmm. still be family and still yeah. be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And so I think even, and I'm willing to submit to the leadership, you know, and mm-hmm. go, hey, I do disagree. As long as this isn't a make or break, mm-hmm. great, you know, because mm-hmm. we can see it different. And we have to figure out how do we run services, right? Mm-hmm. Do we allow certain things? Do we not?
Right.
Do we have certain context that this stuff could happen? Do we encourage this to happen, you know? And we have to answer those questions. So the way we do church, our ecclesiology is driven by our theology, how we see God. And mm-hmm. so I'm willing to submit to that. But, you know, at the same time, I love having the dialogue. You know, Dave and I talked about it this morning. I talked with a couple of staff members, Dave Obwald, the Fig campus pastor. And so just I love the conversation and the theological wrestling. Mm-hmm. And
you can go next door and say, Jared, let's talk about this.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's okay.
Yeah. And Rick, let's yeah. talk about this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
Whatever he says is truth, straight from God.
Well, cool. I think this is good. And, if you heard this message, feel the freedom to wrestle and continue to read the text and continue to, I think one of the huge things that Andrew and I focus on is this is 5 verses out of all of chapter 14. And in my opinion, there's a lot more to be said. And 1 through 5 is a small blip on the chapter 14 radar. Mm-hmm. And I almost think that if we hear all these sermons as a whole, we might be able to glean a little bit more from it, because it is tough to just break apart those 5 verses when Paul's not necessarily hasn't even completed his thought just yet.
Right.
And so I think that reading all of 1 Corinthians 14, and Brad's, I think, going to teach over the next couple of weeks, Jared mentioned. And so we'll continue to wrestle with it with an open hand. And Andrew, I appreciate you coming in here. And yeah, up next, we'll talk with Andrew a little bit about an exposure trip to Guinea-Bissau, where they probably speak in tongues and do miracles and all of the above. So we'll talk about that. Stay tuned.
Be in my heart. Be in my eyes. I. Be in my heart. So now I think that I can love you back. And I hope it's not too late, cause you're so attractive. Takes a man to live, it takes a woman, make him compromise. So be in my eyes, be in my heart, be in my eyes, I, be in my heart.
All right. Welcome back. We are here with Andrew Feil. Andrew has been sticking with us throughout the whole episode. Andrew, for those of the people who don't listen regularly and they're just tuning in because they saw the name Andrew Feil.
Which is no one.
Which is zero people. But maybe new people who haven't listened to back episodes. What? Not necessarily what is your role in the Spoutcast, but what is your role at the Well Community Church?
Yeah,
it's changed quite a bit.
Yeah, I was a missions director, global and local, and now we divided that, and I am a spiritual formation for the Fig campus. So that means I oversee our life groups, life group leaders, some discipleship stuff, random teaching responsibilities, and just pastoral stuff. So for the Fig campus.
For a short stint, you were the spiritual formation at Clovis campus, weren't you?
I had a whole six weeks. Yeah. Sarah,
yep.
Good times.
Good times.
And so what is your role, as the Fig Garden spiritual formation director?
I mean, basically just meeting with leaders, coaching, making sure that they're really, I think the vision for our life groups is to help live out, helping our mission statement, which is helping people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood. So we want groups to connect to God, really be a family, connect to each other, and then be on mission, serve in their mm-hmm. neighborhood, whatever that is, live, work, and play.
And all the spiritual formation guys and gals are in charge of local missions, correct?
Yes.
And local missional expressions, correct?
Yeah, in many senses, we really feel like that life groups are the way to see people get engaged. Because, you know, you guys have served. It's like sometimes scary or daunting. Mm-hmm. And doing it in community is a lot easier. And so, mm-hmm. And we really think that the church is the body scattered. So a group of 10 people is the church. We are the church. You know, mm-hmm. Brad talked about that a couple months ago. And so we really want to see the church being missional in their neighborhood. So Brad can't reach your neighborhood. You can. And so how are you going to do that? And, you know, life groups are one of those ways. And as spiritual formation guys, we just try and know what's going on in our neighborhoods, our city, and kind of share opportunities people can serve and get involved in.
And things like Mission Christmas are now under more your guys' realm versus our missions director, which was your old job.
Yeah,
correct?
Okay. Totally. Yeah.
And so as a spiritual formation director of the FIG campus, one of your guys' responsibilities, correct me if I'm wrong, is to do exposure trips, or because Scott went this past summer to Ukraine, and he said that was part of his, like, that was one of the things he wanted to do, was go with life groups on mission trips. Is that part of your job, or this is more of a personal?
No, yeah, it really has. Brad's kind of admonition is we would love to see every campus and every even life group go on an exposure trip. And So to do that, we'd love the spiritual formation guys to help facilitate that, to take a trip a year. So each one of us, there's four of us, is going to be taking a trip every year, plus, you know, the other trips John Lorente, the missions director, leads, right, or just other people are taking. So, so, I mean, that's an awesome job description. Right. Take a exposure trip once a year. I was like, yes, sir.
Now, the trip that you're going to is Guinea-Bissau, right?
Yep.
And it's a small trip, correct?
Yeah, really, it's the definition of an exposure trip. So exposure trips, we changed the language recently because I think we wanted people to understand that, you know, mission trips, as they've previously been called, are really about you more than they're about the organization. Because, for example, I've gone to Thailand, and it costs about $3,000 to go for 2 weeks. You could pay a staff member to work with the organization we worked with for $3,000 a year. And so your money is not best invested in you, but God does change you as you go overseas. And so you're getting exposed to what God is doing throughout the world. And you get to see the work he's doing in whatever country, through whatever people. And so really it's an exposure piece for us from Fresno, from The Well, from Clovis. It's exposure piece for us to see what God's doing more than it is like, we're going to go save the world or we're going to fix this building. Like, you're really just getting to see what God's doing in a different part of the world.
That was one of the things that you felt like you got out of it. Not necessarily we changed the world by any means on your London trip, Sarah, mm-hmm. but more like, man, I learned a lot about myself and about just the way I view missions and on all of the above. And so Definitely. You paid X amount of money to get an experience that really you probably wouldn't have learned anywhere else other than going there. And we were
exposed to our mindset of missions, and it challenged all of us. So,
right.
And we wouldn't, yeah, you're right. We wouldn't.
And so that is more that's the hope of all exposure trips at The Well, is that people would glean something new from it, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I was just reading a book called Toxic Charity, and it talks a lot about how the church gives, and a lot of our giving actually hurts those we're trying to help. And I think that's one of the things, until we make the shift in our mind that mission trips are for us, and like that God's really going to change our life, and it's going to be a discipleship moment for us. Mm-hmm. Take a leap of faith, try something new, see a new experience. Until we see that, I think, yeah, we really want to make that shift at The Well.
Well, yeah, I think it pushes on the anatomy a little bit. I think humble submission is in there. I think inclusive community. It's pushing on all those different areas of discipleship. And what does it mean to be sacrificially generous? And I think for one person, it's going to expose them to some of their, not weaknesses, maybe a bad word, but some of their areas of like, oh, that's hard for me, you know?
Yeah.
And so why Guinea-Bissau? What's out there? I know.
Where is Guinea-Bissau?
Exactly. That's a great question.
Michigan? So
Africa.
Yes, it's in Africa. So if you kind of looking at it, it's on the West Horn where it kind of comes down and around. Mm-hmm. A very small country, about 1 million people, and about the fifth poorest country in the world. So wow. A country that literally, like I was doing some reading on it, the president of the country doesn't even have electricity. So he has everything run off generators that, you know, he siphons money off from donors and stuff. He just takes money and buys his luxury palace. But it's so like dysfunctional, so corrupt that they can't even have an electrical grid that works well.
Oh, that's crazy.
So just a country, really, I think the birth of it is, there's a life group leader at the FIG campus named Chris Collins.
I was just about to ask you, he said on Facebook today, he's going out there like today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And he is actually dating, Holly Cannon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So she's an extended family member in Morocco. And so they connected this summer when she was back. And yeah, hit it off. You guys, didn't you guys have Holly on Spoutcast?
We never had Holly on the Spoutcast.
No, so. Okay.
But I know Chris really well.
Okay.
And I saw on Facebook, oh, he's going to Guinea-Bissau. I wondered if you guys were going to kind of support him.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, he was working at the Fresno Bee, and he had gone on this, worked with this organization, and they were in a leadership transition. They asked him to take over as executive director. And so it's called West African Vocational Schools. Their acronym is WAVES. And so they do job training. So they do sewing, computer classes, English, welding, and auto mechanics. And so basically they're trying to give skills in a country that there are no opportunities for this. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, English is one of the world languages. And so if they don't have English, it's really hard to get outside or even interact in a business setting. And so they need English. They don't have access to computers. And so they do computer training, typing, and, you know, Microsoft Word and all those kind of things. And then the different programs like sewing or auto mechanics. So trying to really give people job skills.
To know how to sew?
No, definitely not. But, you know, so they do a really good job of, from a Christ-centered perspective, of giving them, you know, addressing both the heart and the hands. And so they really, Christ is part of what they do, but at the same time, they realize there has to be indeed too. So they have to give them practical skills. And it is something that's attractive in the marketplace that people look and they go, I don't know about Jesus, but man, I could sure use, you know, a skill.
Right.
And so, yeah, they've had a lot of success. Very small organization, but grown a ton. Chris has been a great, they didn't even have an executive director before this. So he's the first. So it's going to be a crew of about five of us. So Pat Dill.
Talked about it this weekend when I hung out with him. He's excited for it. He's shooting a music video or something?
Yeah, well, there's this guy, Patrick Contreras. Does you guys know who he is? So he's a local violinist that is like, but he's like not
Guys,
standard.
Number one rule of improv. Always go, yeah, I know that.
I never reject an idea.
Doing improv right now.
Well, you know, it's a show. So,
keep going. I know Patrick Contreras.
So he's a violinist that's like a rock violinist.
Yeah,
so like,
he's so good.
He'll even do like dubstep violin.
Totally. Yeah, I've heard it. Yeah,
so good, right?
Totally. We doing okay,
Christian? So anyways.
Well, you guys always make fun of me listening to bands
totally
like Yellow
did
Card.
At the same time, too.
And, you know, there's a rock violinist in Yellow Card.
Exactly.
So and these chumps over here always make fun of me.
Oh, chumps. Huh?
Yeah.
Get out
know,
of my
you
studio.
Know Brian File played with Yellow Card?
Yeah, I do know that.
Okay, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I totally knew that. Bass.
Okay.
She's doing anyway,
no, wait, did your brother really play with Yellow Card?
Yeah.
With doing what?
In Bakersfield at this like shack place.
Oh my gosh.
Little.
Christian, are you so excited?
I've talked with Brian about it before.
Oh,
so.
You get a little starstruck.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why they're such besties.
All right. Anyways, moving on. Patrick Contreras is a violinist. He is a really big fan of Waves. Whenever they do a benefit concert, he plays. So anyways, yeah, Pat's going to do a music video with him in Guinea-Bissau. It's pretty awesome. So
Pat is really like super pumped about it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And then
you're starring in the music video.
I hope not.
Number one.
I have not heard that.
You're singing for it?
Yes.
Oh, you're going to sew the costumes for it.
It's going to be lip sync, though.
Oh, good.
Backstreet Boys. So.
Yeah.
And then Robert Poitras, who's the mayor of Madeira, will be going. He's one of our life group leaders as well. And then we have a couple of folks that are in the kind of the wing that, you know, depending on if they get the time off and those kind of things. So
over the next couple months... I know there's Tri-Tip fundraiser. Is there any other ways people could support you guys going or?
Yeah, I definitely think the Tri-Tip fundraiser is probably the biggest. So that's coming up on the 4th of November. So buy your Tri-Tip. Just, you know, it's a huge meal. It really feeds more than four. So, and just, you know, give generously and you can also throw in a little tip if you want, just to give to the trips overall. There's also a trip going to Thailand. With an organization called ITDP.
Yeah.
So they
that
do
trip's been going on for years.
Yeah, this is probably, man, it's got to be about the 7th or 8th trip we've taken with them. So
we should do, like, instead of tri-tip, we should do meatloaf. Because just that's a funny word.
But I don't know if that would sell.
Yeah. Well, you know,
it's not
it could.
As sexy.
Well.
I did hear from John that he's thinking about mixing it up in general. So he may be switching up.
Him and I talked about doing like a vegetarian thing at one point for those out there that want to support missions but don't buy meat. So,
And then I feel like the numbers of people who have bought the eat meat has gone down in the past few years.
Yeah, I do. I agree. And I think it's part of it is, you know, we really at The Well are trying to make a concerted effort to not have announcements be the focus, right? So when you end a service, you can leave on whatever the thought of the sermon was, right, and just in that kind of state. So I think part of that is, yeah, we just don't announce it. Yeah. It's not as big of a push from us from the front.
Which, I think we're trying to encourage people to use the website.
Yes.
And be interactive with the website.
In reality, we're using every form of promotion except verbals.
Right. And I mean, this is a total side note, but like there's a podcast I listen to and like, I never listen to announcements on it or anything like that or any of the ads, but everything's on the website. So I get it all, you know, but I'm trained to do that. And I think that's what we're trying to do is train people to go to the website, find out when things are.
I like verbals. I'm sad about lack of verbals.
I
don't. Personally. Yeah.
Sorry. I am with you,
I think
Sarah.
They're useless.
What Jane says go.
They don't work.
See, but I think because we don't push tri-tip as much, that's why it's gone down. Not because
I don't agree with you.
Yeah,
and I think it's a personality difference because my personality loves bullet points and like I love
get back around.
I love announcements.
We don't want to take a stance one way or the other. Because
no, I'll take a stance.
You know,
I took one.
What does Scripture say, really? You know,
it's unity and love, guys. Yeah, unity and love.
Well, Andrew, I'm excited for you, and
I would also just say
I'm getting my way, so really it doesn't matter.
I'd also just say, hey, check out waveschool.org. Check that out, and you guys can just learn more and see what they're doing. Really good organization. You could even give some of the things they're trying to do is cover and pay for the teachers' salary, and so you can do that. They're also doing micro lending, so that's really growing. As you can give a small loan to somebody to start a business, so they graduate from the auto mechanic school. Yeah, you could give them a $500 loan that they can take to now launch their own shop. And so they're kind of trying some new things. So really cool stuff. I'm excited to learn more and to share more. And
well, maybe we can have you back on the show after you're back. That's in January,
that'd
correct?
Be great. Yeah, January 12th through the 26th.
Since I am the one who schedules the interviewers, I will only let you back on if you bring us presents.
Oh, okay. Challenge offered. All right.
Presents back from Guinea-Bissau, just presents in general?
Presents from Guinea-Bissau.
What I'm going to bring back is a little plate of food you can taste. So it may be some worm.
You should bring
back
national candy. Because I like trying candy from different countries.
Maybe Andrew will bring back his experiences.
I like presents. Preferably
Andrew
gift
coming
wrapped.
Back is a present to me.
Well, he doesn't have to win you over. He has to win me over. So
really quick. You know, I'll save a story for the next segment with Andrew.
The announcement story segment.
Andrew, thank you for sharing. And you can go to the website and get all the info for Tri-Tip Fundraiser and all of the above. And we'll have you back on with presents come January. I'm excited to hear about your trip.
Thanks.
And we can also be praying for you and the team as well.
Really appreciated that for us as the Guinea-Bissau team and also for the Thailand team. You know, I think the prayer, is just God would move and we get to know him more and see what he's doing.
Cool. Up next, we are going to close out the show. We will enjoy some more Lumineers and stay tuned.
When we were young, we did enough. When it got cold, we bundled up. I can't be told, I can't be done. It's better to feel pain.
All right, welcome back.
We are back. And did you ever see that SNL with Jimmy Fallon's SNL Best Of?
Jimmy Fallon.
Have you ever seen the Best Of Jimmy Fallon? Yeah. You know that skit he does with Ben Affleck where they're like radio hosts and they're like battling back and forth? I just watched that this weekend and they're basically like these two radio hosts battling who starts the segment off after like commercial break. And I feel like that is me and Jane. And we're back! back. Like,
no,
it's,
I asked permission.
I know,
and
but
you granted it to me.
Sometimes we do that.
Do you notice that I have not interrupted you?
I have noticed that. Dave interrupted me at one point during the episode.
That was pretty funny. Dave's interrupted a lot this episode.
All right, so I said I'd share a story about Andrew. And this is, you have no idea that this happened.
I wish there was cameras in here because
this is very much a visual thing to hear. But Andrew recently got a new admin. We don't need to name names or gender because that makes the story weirder. But Andrew is talking to his admin and you're explaining like something. You're talking to them about like,
wait, we got to give the whole start of the story because I'm walking over to ask you a question. And as I do that, Christian like walks past me as I see you doing this. I'm like, Christian, you got to look at Andrew.
Yeah, she points my attention over to you. And so you're talking to your admin and Andrew has two fingers like right above, like a good 2 inches above his nipples and is kind of just like rubbing his shirt. Like,
straight up and down.
Very like passionately like this.
And you're kind of leaned back a little bit too you doing it.
And so me and Jane just look at you and go, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're totally that. Saying that on the spout.
Do you realize you do that?
I think sometimes I have shirts that I like, just I like, or so I just go like this.
That's exactly what you were just doing. Yeah. But it was a good 2.5 minutes of you doing that. Like,
I'm very fidgety. So like, I'll walk into a room and I just grab stuff like paper clips, and then I just start playing. Like, I have to have something to be doing. So well, that's unfortunate.
Maybe consider doing something else besides rubbing your chest.
On my legs.
Yeah. This is not nearly as funny, but Andrew and I work out every Monday, and like, I didn't want to tell you this morning because I was like kind of frustrated, but you were like zooming through your workout and like, I am dead tired. I need like a sip of water. I literally feel like I'm going to pass out, and you just, come on, dude, keep going. Come on, hurry up. What are you doing? Why are you taking so long? I'm like, I'm dying. Like, and I was like so mad at you. And then like, you just took a shower and then left. And I'm like, oh, I guess Andrew just doesn't want to work out. I was like so hurt about it. And he never came into my office or said anything. You got to wait for me. All right.
You got to pick up the pace a little bit, man.
Oh my God.
Are you guys doing Tough Mudder?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, but we train like we're not.
Me too.
I was trying to get you to pick up the pace a little. I should have probably told you that at the start.
Tell me at the start.
Hey, we're going to go a little fast today.
All right.
This guy's kind of mopey in the morning. He's just like, what's up? I'm Christian.
That is not me. I just want to chat. I just want to, hey, what's going on? Dude, workout's not for, you know, my body. It's just hanging out, dude. I don't care about.
See, I'm like, get it. I want to push it.
All right. Jane, what was your spout out?
Okay, I got to give a spout out because of the music this week. I only had two songs from Lumineers. And Jesse Wilson pulled through for me and sent two other songs. So, Jesse, we couldn't have done this without you. Thanks for your music.
What's Jesse's role?
Addition?
Like, title in the office. Because she's the creative team admin and
receptionist
office manager?
I'd say. Receptionist or office manager?
I'd say office manager is a better title.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
She was Andrew's admin for a while, and Chris Schultz was Andrew's admin before that.
Just had to throw that in there.
Hey, it's weird. It's like,
do you ever rub your shirt in front of Jesse or Chris like that?
No comment.
It is like this. I watched Jimmy Kimmel a lot, and Jimmy Kimmel's like becoming huge. And Adam Carolla and Jimmy Kimmel kind of started way back in radio.
Didn't he just host some awards?
The Emmys.
Yeah.
And now he's getting he does 12 o'clock late night, but now he's doing 11:35, which is going up against like Leno and Letterman. And so he's like become huge. And all these interviewers are asking Adam Carolla, like, hey, what happened, dude? Like, Jimmy Kimmel's like super big. I feel like the same thing with you. You know, Chris Schultz has really climbed the ranks. He was North Campus pastor for a while. He was your admin, and look at you, dude. Just a big guy. No big deal. Just kidding. That was stupid. All right. Let's close out the show.
I think he just insulted me because he was a little sad this morning. What just happened right
that
there?
That was just like, hey, Andrew, like you're a big shot, or is Chris Schultz a big shot?
Chris Schultz.
I think he just insulted me.
I think that was just more insulting and a joke.
Okay. It was more insulting and a joke. Check out
our Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. This is The Spout.
And we're
I'm
out.
A horrible host.
What? You just ruined my outro.
And when she stood tall. She'll make a fool of you all.